Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Here again these verses from the readings you've just heard. The words of our Lord, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And also the words of John from his first epistle. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and so we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Of all the images of Jesus that the scriptures give us, I think the most gentle and the most comforting, the most heartfelt, is that of the Good Shepherd. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, the Latin name for this Sunday is a great, it's a, the kind of name that makes you want to learn Latin. You know, Misericordias Domini Sunday. It's a great, great name. The Merciful Heart of the Lord. And nowhere is the Merciful Heart of the Lord revealed more clearly than in that image that Jesus gives of the Good Shepherd. It harkens back to the 23rd Psalm. David, the shepherd king, as a sheep boasting about his shepherd, the Lord's my shepherd, I lack nothing. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem, a shepherd's town, the birthplace of David, the shepherd king. The first to worship him were shepherds from the fields of Bethlehem. And though Jesus grew up in a carpenter's house, his true vocation was that of shepherd. Shepherd of Israel. Shepherd of the world. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's the recurring theme. Four times in the reading, and then John picks it up again in his epistle. Laying down one's life. For the shepherd, his sheep are his life. He brings them out to green pastures. He leads them to the quiet, fresh pools of water. He sets them upright when they've fallen down and can't pick themselves up. He leads them in the well-worn paths that take them to safe places. He leads them through dark valleys where the sheep would not go, except that their shepherd goes before them. Where the shepherd leads, the sheep will follow in trust. He feeds them. He anoints their wounds and sores. He cares for them. He pampers them. And at night, after the flock is safely tucked into their pen, the good shepherd lays down and sleeps at the entrance of the pen. He becomes like a door. You can get to those sheep literally over his dead body. That's what he means. He lays down his life for the sheep. Now, the shepherd stands in sharp contrast to the hired hand. He runs off at the first sight of danger. For him, it's a job and a paycheck. You know, he cares nothing for the sheep. He doesn't know them. But for the shepherd, the sheep are not only his livelihood, they are his life. They're like his family. They're like pets. He calls each of his sheep by name, and they hear their name, and they hear his voice, and they follow their shepherd, and they'll follow the voice of no one else. What a perfect picture of Jesus and his church. It's what Luther said the church is. Sheep who hear the voice of their shepherd. Sheep whose ears perk up at the sound of the shepherd's voice, and they will follow him anywhere, even death. And through death to eternal life, because he leads the way ahead of us. He has laid down his life for you, for his sheep, literally for the world. To say that Jesus is good shepherd is also then to say that we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And if you stop and think about it, that may prove a bit troublesome to our egos. While it's nice to think of Jesus the good shepherd, it might leave something to be desired, and it's less than flattering to ourselves to think of ourselves as sheep. Sheep are stubborn. They are mean. They are prone to wandering. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everybody has gone his own way. We don't naturally like to stay close to the flock, and that is our problem. Sheep are prone to straying, and so are we. We are prone to drink from every putrid and polluted puddle that promises us some moment of refreshment, whether it's religions, philosophies, self-help fads, whatever you see on TV or hear on the radio. We will sample any weed in the pasture that looks tasty, no matter how poisonous it may turn out to be. We wander off on our own. We think we can go it alone. Just God and me. That's all I need. Don't need the complications of congregation and community. Why bother with all of that when you can go it alone? Remember always that the lone sheep is the one that's the easiest pickings for the wolves. That's what the wolves and the predators look for, the isolated lone sheep. That wandering waywardness of ours comes as an original itch, our wanting to be gods in place of God. We don't want to be followers. We want to be the one in charge. We want to stick our hand into the middle of the garden and grab from that forbidden fruit for ourselves, that fruit that brought death instead of life, because we want to do it our way instead of God's way. How much like sheep that is. You and I have that same inborn tendency, and it manifests in our spiritual restlessness, our boredom, our continual flock hopping from one church to another to yet another, our itch for the novel, the exciting, the new. How easily we get bored with those ruts of righteousness. I always marvel at the Hebrew of Psalm 23. He leads me in the ruts of righteousness, those deeply indented paths that have been walked over and over and over again, so you cannot mistake them. But they are oh so boring to people who always need to hear and see something new. But I got news, good news. Those ruts lead to eternal life, the way of righteousness. But left on our own, we'd follow the stray paths and we'd be devoured by the wolves. I have to confess, I don't know a thing about sheep firsthand. I'm a city kid. I know I like lamb chops. That's about all I know about sheep. My in-laws from Kansas, they're cattle people. Cattle people don't get along with sheep people either. They don't think much of sheep, I discovered. At the county fair, the cattle are over on this end, and, well, the sheep, they're over on that end. We don't go there, you know. I had to make a special request to go and see the sheep, because I think sheep and goats are kind of cool because of all the images in the Bible, but nobody from the family wanted to go with me to the other end to the sheep. They were cattle people. Sheep are high maintenance. They require constant attention. Ranchers don't pay much attention to cattle, and they don't name them either. The kids do, but you know, cattle ranchers don't name the cows. Not the way a shepherd names his sheep. The thing about a shepherd is he gets down and joins in the flock. He becomes one of the sheep, and the sheep literally think he's one of them. And now I think you get kind of the deeper meaning of this image here. I am the good shepherd. God becomes one of us. He joins the flock. Had the Son of God not joined the flock by becoming man, we would be doomed by our own sin and death. But this is the merciful heart of the Lord. Misericordias Domini. He became one of us. The Word became flesh, and he pitched the tabernacle of his flesh among us, the way that a shepherd dwells with his flock. And, you know, God didn't sit there up in heaven looking down from his throne and saying, boy, they sure look lost. I hope they find the way back. You know, instead, he came down. He joined the flock. The shepherd became one of the sheep. He laid down his life. Lifted up on the cross, he laid down his life. He gathered all of us, all of humanity to himself, a whole sinful, damned humanity in the embrace of a good and loving shepherd, God, who is willing to lay down his own life to suffer and to die in order to save. The Lord is your good shepherd. You can boast with David. He pastures you in the green pastures of his word. He leads you to the quiet waters of your baptism. He restores your soul. He lifts you up when you have fallen down. He guides you in those ruts of righteousness for his name's sake, walking that way of daily dying and rising, repentance and faith. You walk through that dark valley called the shadow of death. You face death every day, though you recognize it or not. Every time you step into your car, you drive, you read the headlines, the latest virus that's going to kill us. We face death all day long, but we fear no evil. Why? Because he is with us. And he has gone the way of death ahead of us. And where death and the grave loom large, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, looms even larger. You need fear no evil. Fear not, little flock. Good Shepherd Jesus has gone the way ahead of you, suffering, dying, and rising. The grave couldn't hold him. The grave won't hold you either, thanks to him. He is with you, comforting you with his word and his presence, the rod of his law, the staff of his gospel, always assuring us that he is with us. He prepares a banquet table in the presence of our enemies. The enemies, by the way, are sin, death, devil, the law that condemns us. He prepares this banquet table of his body and his blood right there. And he says to us, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That love that lays down its life, the love of the Good Shepherd, it has its effect on the sheep too. Sheep begin to take on the personality and the character of their shepherd. He is so much a part of them and so much a part of their lives that the sheep reflect that same laid down one's life love toward each other. You see, without our Good Shepherd, we'd be butting heads constantly, competing, struggling for our own survival. Without Jesus, all we are isolated sheep turned inward on ourselves and our own needs, and to hell with everybody else. But something marvelous happens when that lay down its life love of Jesus has its way with us. We become like him. And John writes about that. He says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. There it is, Good Shepherd love. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. The love that flows from the merciful heart of the Lord overflows to the brother, to the sister, to the fellow Christian who shares that same baptismal birth, who shares that same body and blood, who hears that same forgiveness, who has the same good shepherd named Jesus. Jesus said as much to the sheep in the parable, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. That's what the sheep did. The sheep see the shepherd in each other, and they reflect the good shepherd to each other. Luther said precisely that. He said, we are as little Christs to one another in all the little ways that we lay down our lives, our agendas, our expectations, everything that we lay down our lives for each other, we become as little Christs for each other. It might be helping a young mother with her squirmy children, so maybe once in a while she can hear a sermon all the way through. It might be helping a young family who can't make their ends meet because somebody has lost a job. It might mean teaching a Sunday school class so that children can learn the Bible and the catechism, and you can share what you have learned with others, with little ones. It might mean mentoring a young person, a young man or a young woman, maybe someone who doesn't have a father or a mother. It might mean visiting somebody who is homebound or sick. Countless ways. Countless little ways to lay down our lives because we know the love of Jesus who laid down his life for us. We are as little reflections of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to each other as sheep of his pasture. And we see Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in each of us. As often as you have done it to the least of these, my brothers, you have done it to me, the Shepherd King says. We serve Christ in each other, and we are as Christ for one another. This is what impressed the surrounding culture of the early church in the first centuries. It wasn't Christianity's doctrines and creeds. They hadn't gotten that stuff together yet. It wasn't its glorious worship. It wasn't its magnificent buildings. It wasn't its great programs. None of that. It was this very simple observation as the pagan world looked in on the church and observed the life of the Christians, and they saw something different than the usual dog-eat-dog world. They said, see how they love one another. And they were mystified by that. It was that love, that alien, strange kind of love, unselfish, self-sacrificing, laying down its life for the sake of the other. That's what the world saw as different, and it marveled. It wanted to know what was so different about those Christians that they loved one another that way. It's what made them seek out the Christians to discover what made them tick. Why would people love in this way? And the answer to that question is the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. I have to wonder aloud today on this Sunday, amidst all the reports of declining church attendance, and you hear the dire reports no matter where you look, the lack of interest in Christianity, apathy from our own baptized young people who abandon the faith about as soon as they turn 18. I have to wonder whether it's because that self-sacrificing love that so mesmerized the ancient world is not as transparent today among us. James reminded us that the world can't see faith. Don't even bother talking about your faith to the world. It's meaningless. The world sees faith's love. That's all it can see. And John says the same thing. One of John's churches, and he was in charge of seven of them, the first one, headquarters, the home church, the main congregation in Ephesus, was known for its pure doctrine. It was known for its patient endurance. It was known for its rejection of every heresy. All the other churches got sucked in. No, not Ephesus. Boy, they know how to flush out the false prophets and the false teachers. But at the close of the first century, the Lord of the church has one thing to say to the congregation at Ephesus. You have abandoned your former love. You do not love one another as you did at first. Repent. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? John asks us. This is God's mandate, not simply that we believe in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, but that believing in him, we love one another. Jesus said the same thing when he bent down to wash the feet of his disciples, and he told them that the world will know that you are my disciples as you love one another in the same way I have loved you. And if that causes you a bit of unrest this morning, good. Good. If your hearts are condemned, then turn to God. John says he's greater than your hearts. And he knows everything anyway. Let his love turn you inside out again. And take that step of love in confidence that you cannot fail. God will not let you. Try it. Dare to love as you have been loved. While faith in Christ is always whole and entire, love is always one little step at a time. It's what Eugene Peterson calls a long obedience in the same direction. The world will note a difference. So will you. You are sheep of the Good Shepherd's flock. Your baptism marks you as such. You are one of his. You were bought with a price. not gold or silver, but the holy, precious blood and the innocent suffering and death of your good shepherd who laid down his life for you. You are precious to him. You are literally to die for. There's not a day that his goodness and his mercy do not follow you, flowing from the merciful heart of the Lord to you. You may not always feel as though it were so, but it is because the Lord has promised it is so. He will not leave you like a hired hand. He is your shepherd, and he laid down his life that you may be his. And in the end of it all, there is a promise held in trust that is as sure as Jesus risen from the dead is sure. You will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And in that freedom and in that knowledge, love one another as you have been loved. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.